You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Hey guys, welcome to the Best Practice Show, where we take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all across the country. And when you're looking at growing a great practice, there are four metrics you have to pay attention. And if you don't pay attention to these, they become huge lost opportunity. I'm going to show you exactly what they are with the madman, Dr. Mark Murphy, who is awesome.
I love that introduction, Kirk. You couldn't have done anybody. The madman. I love it.
A madman.
I wish my name was Max. It'd be perfect.
You're the best, buddy.
So it is always so fun to talk to you, man.
Well, hold on for 1 second. Do me a favor. Grab a pen and hit the share button. We're going to see you guys in just a second. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practice Show. Having so much fun doing this. And the cool part about this is I get to do this with my friends who have been great mentors and great teachers. And today is no exception. So when you're looking at building a great restorative practice, there are some things you have to know. And we're going to be talking about four of the most important metrics that are huge lost opportunity. Four. So with my good friend, Dr. Mark Murphy. Now, before we get started, a couple things. We are shooting this live on Facebook. So as you have questions during the live feed, do me a favor and add the questions, and I'll ask Dr. Murphy himself and get the answer straight from the top. Also, if you're watching this later on, continue to add questions to the feed. You're going to see he is awesome at being able to get you the right answers. Now, you have been one of my good friends for a long time through the, you know, my affiliation with the Pankey Institute and one of my instructors down there. And I affectionately refer to you as the Robin Williams of dentistry. You hate that, but you are absolutely hilarious, crazy, informative. And
I'd like to be the George Clooney of dentistry, the George Clooney.
All right, we'll work on that. All good. Now, I know who you are. If people don't know Dr. Mark Murphy, can you give us a little short bio, who you are, where you came from, and what you're up to now?
So for a long time, practicing dentist, slowly started to morph towards educator, ended up taking a role as director of continuing education for a company that owned a bunch of dental labs. It was really a fun run for me, and I kept reducing and reducing the amount of dentistry that I was doing. Ultimately ended up at a full-time relationship with the Pankey Institute for about a year and a half in 05 and 06, left there. Came out, did a little consulting for dental laboratories, a little work with some dentists, continued to teach and lecture. And today, I lecture and teach for a company called ProSomnus Sleep Technologies, and I have a small little consulting activity that I do. I'm not trying to do some of the stuff that you are, but we try and nip around the edges and stuff like that. Leave the big projects to you. I want just the little stuff. I just want to pick up your crumbs, Kirk. I'd be happy to eat your crumbs. Are you kidding me? Especially because you eat at Starbucks, and they have some great. you got a Starbucks cup, you just keep refilling it. I like that.
Absolutely.
That works. That's me in a nutshell.
Absolutely. Well, you're so much more than that. And so now I want to talk about why this is so important, because you're a big fan. One of the things that you, I think, have nailed more than anybody is not only managing the metrics or paying attention to the metrics, but there's a behavioral piece that's attached to these metrics. Can you describe that link, that systemic link?
So what you're mentioning, and it's probably the dearest thing to my heart right now when I think about dental practices and how I want to change the world and how practices grow, is we're really good at dentistry. We're surprisingly good for a business that didn't go to business school. We're surprisingly good at measuring things. Now, sometimes we measure the wrong things. And what I mean by that is we might know the number of new patients. We might know how many hours our schedule is full. We might know how many new patients we're seeing, how many hours hygiene was working, all this kind of stuff. Great. Fantastic. Love that. But it's the behaviors that drive the results. And very, very rarely do we find a dental practice that's measuring the behaviors that impact results. The example I always use is Weight Watchers, MyFitnessPal, these kinds of things. I want to lose weight. Buying a better scale does not help me lose weight. A scale that reads out in metric, it tells me my body fat percentage, it reads my blood cholesterol through the sweat of my feet, I don't know, whatever the hell it does, it will not help me lose weight. It will not help me lose body fat. The only way to do that is to measure, monitor, and manage the behaviors that lead to that weight. And that's calories in, calories out. Right. And so I really focus on finding key behavioral indicators instead of key performance indicators. So KBIs instead of KPIs that will really move the needle for a dental practice.
Right. And give us a little example. Let's just say in hygiene, like a KBI. I know we've got four of them that we're going to be talking about, but
sure.
So if I'm a young dentist and I'm watching this, put this together for me in hygiene, Mark. Like, give me an idea.
So I love that. So let me frame that example. So we see our patients and we talk to our patients about dentistry that they need, but they don't necessarily want.
Right.
Well, it's no difference with us. You and I could sit down with a dental practice and in 5 or 10 or 15 minutes, we might observe because our eyes see different things, opportunities for that practice to grow. The practice might need those behavioral changes. They might need to do something different, but they don't always want it, just like our patients. Right. And there's a lot of reasons for that. So I always try to think of it as like, why doesn't a patient always accept treatment? Because for many patients, they walk around thinking, well, it isn't hurt. It doesn't break. It isn't malfunctioning. So they don't have a symptom. Mm-hmm. So you and I know, just like we do in dentistry, it's the observation of signs more so than the symptoms. The things that we observe about a practice or the things that we observe about our patients are so much more important than the symptoms. Symptoms are easy. My tooth hurts. My tooth broke. I can't eat here. Great. Let me fix that. But a wear facet, a craze line, a periodontal pocket that bleeds, that doesn't have pain, or a little decay we see on an x-ray. So I would think about practice management analysis, looking at the hygiene department and saying, what would we see if we took an x-ray of the hygiene department? What would we see if we looked into the hygiene department? Because maybe we see a full schedule.
Right.
Maybe we see there's an occasional opening, but it's a pretty full schedule. I've got a couple hygienists working full time. Schedule's pretty full. There's some dentistry coming out of hygiene. There's a pretty steady flow of new patients. And we would look at that and we would say, just like the patient would say, the absence of pain means health.
Right.
Well, that's not true, because if we took an x-ray, we might see a little cavity, might see a little periodontal defect, a little bit of bone loss. But until we feel pain, until we have trouble paying our bills, which is unlikely in dentistry because we do well even when we're not functioning on all cylinders. So the key here is, what do we see when we take an x-ray?
Right. So let's take an x-ray and look at these four metrics, because there are four, and I agree with you on these four. Let's go right into the first one. And what's the most important metric, or one of the most important metrics that you guys look at?
You're right by slipping the tongue and saying the most important metric. I totally agree. It's the most important metric when we look at the hygiene department, is how many patients are leaving with their next hygiene appointment. And the reason that's so critically important is because, Kirk, practices set up all kinds of systems to fill the schedule 6 months from now when it gets here. So when I don't get that patient to schedule, and the average practice has about 70%, you might think it's 90, you might think it's 100, but it's about 70% of the patients are leaving with their next hygiene appointment. Right. So what that means is 30% of your patients, or even if it's less, 20% of your patients, down the road in 6 months, you got to chase them down and get them in the chair. Mm-hmm. And if we do that very well, it's a lot of time, effort, and energy, the wrong kind of time, effort, and energy, because we built a system to fill the chair in 6 months when we should have built that system to fill the chair today.
Right.
And so if we can increase the number of patients leaving with the next hygiene appointment, if the national average is 70, and we can get it up to 90, that's a 20% delta. A 20% delta in a two hygiene practice that's seeing 10 patients a day, 4 days a week, 80 hours of hygiene. So they're seeing, eight days of hygiene with two of them at 10 a day. That's 80 hygiene patients. A 20% delta in that in a practice is 16 more patients in the book 6 months from now for that week. That's 16 people we don't have to call, chase down. That's 16 more cleanings we might get to do. Are they all going to show up? No, it's not a perfect system. But maybe 10 or 12 of them show up. Well, that's still 10 or 12 more that we get to help them make their teeth be healthy the rest of their lifetime. We get to do more of the dentistry that they need and probably get to make a little bit more money. So tracking that behavior, single most impactful behavior for impacting the success, not just of your hygiene department, but because so much restorative flows out, it'll impact that too.
Right. But Mark, mine get all of them, right? That's a year. My hygienists get all of them because they tell me they get all of them, right?
Drop the mic, meeting's over. We're good. It's funny you should say that because a good friend of mine, and gosh, I hope he's not watching, and I won't use his name, but he'll know who he is. Good friend of mine lives near me, calls me up, needs some help. We get together, we talk, we're having a glass of wine. And I tell him one of the most important opportunities we probably have to help grow your practice because he wants to bring an associate in. is growing the hygiene department. And really the key metric I said is watching how many patients are leaving the next hygiene appointment. And Dave says to me, he says, oh, Murph, we got that down. We're 100%. And I just reached into my pocket, pulled out my wallet and put it on the counter. And he said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'll tell you what, if yours is 100% and you're willing to put up a dollar, I'll give you $1,000. Mm-hmm. He said, well, maybe it's not 100%, you know, but it's 95, 98 or something like that. I tell you what, if you're willing to put up a dollar and it's 90%, I'll give you 100 to 1. I'll give you $100 on that.
Yeah.
He said, well, you sound pretty sure of yourself. I said, I am pretty sure of myself. He said, well, maybe I'll go back and measure 74.
Wow.
It felt in his head and it felt in his heart like he was 100%.
Right.
And when he measured it, it was 74. So when we moved that from 74 to 90, and he got into the 90s, he had a hygienist that was running 94, 96 all the time, another one right around 90. He had one that was always in the high 80s. He had 3 full-time hygienists. It had a huge impact on the busyness in his practice. He added 1 full day of hygiene right away, another half day not too long after that. And guess what? Because of all that extra hygiene activity in the dentistry, he got his assistant a little bit busier, and it worked out beautifully for him. I should have worked on a percentage.
Yeah.
I should have worked.
You should have. Now, you could speak to this too. When you start at 74, every hygienist thinks, oh, I get them all. But when you go through each one of them individually that didn't reappoint, they all have a good reason. Well, she was going to be out of the country. She didn't know her schedule. She's good for it. She'll call us. But what we do is we lose these beautiful patients because they're good for it. They're good for it. There's no system. Right. There's no reporting. What gets measured gets improved, but what gets measured and reported on gets significantly improved. And so I agree with you, man. This is the bomb as far as the schedule.
You are so right. What you just described is the problem. We say, this one's good for it. She'll call. She'll come in. This is going to be great. Fantastic. Let's not worry about it. We get 6 months out there. We work hard at filling the schedule, getting some of those folks in, and we've got a new patient flow. That's another important metric here. Now, I do want new patient flow because I want to talk about how important it is to have new patients to practice. But for this moment, I just want to talk about new patients ending up in your hygiene. And so what happens is you say, well, gosh, if I have 15 new patients a month, 15, that's 180 a year. If 180 a year were all adults, they won't be. It'll be about 80%. But if 180 were all adults and they came in twice a year, that'd be 360 hygiene appointments a year. Mm-hmm. If you had 360 hygiene appointments a year divided by 8 hours a day, that's 45 8-hour days. So that practice shouldn't be full a year from now, 6 months from now. They should have added a day of hygiene if 100% of their existing patients were coming in for hygiene. Right. And I don't expect it to be 100%. So that practice probably should have added at least a half day of hygiene every 6 months, every year, if they're retaining their existing patients. But instead, the absence of pain means health. Let me think. Last year, I had 4 days of hygiene. This year, I have 4 days of hygiene. Next year, I have 4 days of hygiene. Ah, that feels good. Absence of pain is health. But I should have added a half day every year. I'm behind a day and a half, but I don't know it because the absence of pain is health. Drives me crazy.
It's spot on, buddy. Metric number 2, you mentioned it already, but can you do a little bit deeper dive on new patients per month?
Yeah. And so again, it'd be a whole different discussion to talk about how we drive new patient flow, ask for referrals, all that kind of stuff. Here, I'm really just saying that if you tell me how many patients are living in the next hygiene appointment, if you go to the beginning of last month, start the first of the month, you draw a line down the piece of the paper, put a tick mark on the left-hand side every time a patient came in, put a tick mark on the right-hand side every time that patient who came in has a next hygiene appointment set up in 3 or 6 months.
Yeah.
When you get to 100 on the left, stop counting, and the number on the right is the percentage returning with a next hygiene appointment. Then you add to that this metric. How many new patients are you seeing? Not trying to change the behavior. That would be how many times did I ask for a referral? What kind of ads did I place? Those would be the behaviors. Right now, I need that piece of information from an analysis standpoint. Tell me how many new patients you have. Tell me how many are leaving the next appointment. And I'll start to get a feel for what's your gap. What's the gap that you're missing of patients who should be in your practice that are leaving? Because if you're having 15 new patients a month come in and you're not adding a half day of hygiene at least every 6 months, you're losing at least 15 patients a month and you don't know it. So the new patient flow can never be big enough to make up for that.
Yeah.
So new patient flow as an important key metric to help me figure out the gap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this gap, we're not asking you to completely close it, but if you tighten it up just a little bit, it makes a dramatic difference.
So think about it. So if I figure out the number of hygiene patients that are reappointing like they're supposed to, I know how many new patients I have. Now I add the third metric. I start to think about, well, how many full days of hygiene do I have right now? Now, when I find out that I'm 60 or 70 or 80% of the patients leaving the next hygiene appointment, I can use that math to figure out how many patients aren't reappointing right now, add in the number of patients that I'm seeing as new patients, and I start to calculate what on an annual basis it's costing me, my team, and here's the worst part, Kurt, it's costing my patients' health because they're not getting their teeth cleaned, we're not maintaining their overall oral hygiene, and we're not finding the dental needs that they might have when they come in on a 6 month recare appointment.
Right.
And then you add the fourth metric to really close the gap and say, well, I'm 60. So how many more years am I going to practice? Let's say it's 5 or let's say it's 10. But what if somebody's 40? What if somebody's 35? And I say, well, how many more years are you going to practice? And the 35-year-old says, well, I'd like to retire when I'm 55 or 60. So that's 20 or 25 more years.
Mm-hmm.
So once we calculate the gap in dollars or the gap in lost patient opportunity or the gap in patient health, however we want to measure it, multiply it by 20 or 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the scary part of that math. And you know this math far better than I do. So I'm talking to the master here, but I'll do the best I can. If I had 70% next hygiene visits and I had 2 full-time hygienists in my practice. So that's a 16 appointment opportunity, we said. Mm-hmm. What is 16 appointments worth? If it's $150 to $200 an appointment, it's got to be worth $3,000 a week. That's $150,000 a year.
Right.
Let's cut it in half. Let's pretend we couldn't possibly close that gap 100%. Let's cut it in half, $75,000 a year.
Right.
If you're watching on Facebook or if you're watching this at home and there's nobody around, I'm going to ask you, if you don't want $75,000, raise your hand. Oh, I'm looking. I didn't see any hands go up. Awesome. So you want the $75,000. That's not the total story, because for every $75,000 in hygienistry you didn't do, there's another $2 to $3 of dentistry that would have come out of those hygiene appointments, because right. The ratio in most practices is 2-to-1 or 3-to-1 of dentistry to hygiene. So let's take the small numbers, $75,000 worth of hygiene we missed, add that to another $150,000 worth of dentistry we could have got out of that, and we're talking $225,000 lost opportunity. Round it down to 2, multiply that by 20 years, I'm pretty sure that's $400,000.
No, it's not.
Put some interest rate on that.
Yeah.
It's $4 million.
$4 million.
And you've got a huge opportunity lost. Why don't we close that gap? Why don't we fix it?
What you're saying is that your entire retirement is slipping through the gap in your hygiene department every single day, and you're not even seeing it. Is that what you're seeing?
You know, that's a great way of putting it. So when a doctor says, I just don't have the money to fund my retirement, my 401k, I don't have any money to put aside for that. If we do this analysis, we can find that money.
Or you can fund it. Because, you know, what's easy to do is also easy not to do. Or you could just say, no, I'll just add 20 more years to my career. You could do that too. No, and of course we're being facetious. We are.
Correct.
We are. But I want to go back to one thing. Okay, so can you define a full, you used FTE, because I do get this question. Okay, Mark, when you define full day of hygiene, can you just define that?
So when we talk about an FTE of hygiene, a full-time equivalent, so an 8-hour day of hygiene would be one FTE. If I had one hygienist working 4 full days and a hygienist working 2 half days, I would have one hygienist worked 4 FTEs and one worked 2 half FTEs, so I would have 5 total full-time equivalents, FTEs, right, of hygiene. So if you told me the number of patients leaving the next hygiene visit, you told me the number of new patients you're seeing, the number of FTE hygiene days you have, and how many years to retirement, I'm happy to do a calculation for anyone to tell them what their opportunity gap is. Mm-hmm. And then the key is, if you see that number, $4 million, or let's say I'm 60 and I'm only going to practice 10 more years, five more years at 60, and it's 200 grand a year.
Right.
That's $1 million. Mm-hmm. That's $1 million. So I don't get to keep all that $1 million because that's $1 million in revenue. But so let's say I get to keep half of it because it's incremental revenue. That's right. $500,000. Mm-hmm. All right. Whatever you want to knock it down to, it's $500,000. So why isn't everyone out there asking for an X-ray of their hygiene department?
Right.
Because the absence of pain means health. I'm measuring the wrong things. My schedule is full. Mm-hmm. I feel happy. Schedule's full. Leave me alone. I don't feel any pain. And as a dentist, even when we don't do a great job, and even though the PPOs have been pecking at us for a few years, I still make a pretty good income. Mm-hmm. So it isn't like I can't pay my bills. I just maybe can't buy as nice a car or as nice a house or do as many things for my team as I wanted to do.
Right.
So we have these things that allow us to become a little bit complacent about, oh, and you know, another thing, I hate change. And I hate change. I still use silver fillings and I use an air turbine. I haven't gone to the electric drills. Mm-hmm. I still use Adaptic for my composite filling material. And I use polysulfide, love the smell of that stuff, if you can recall it, as an impression material. Of course you don't. Why not? Because there's been better improvements in technological change.
Right.
Well, that's true with the business acumen for dentistry too.
Right.
And maybe it's going to be expensive. It's not. For a few dollars a day, you can solve this problem. And maybe it's going to take too much time. It takes a couple minutes a day to track these behaviors in a software program. You can do it manually. It's a pain in the butt. But for a few bucks a day, you can track it with a software program, change the behaviors, impact the results, and retire early.
Okay.
Or have a lot of money. Or send me money. I don't care. Whatever you want to do.
Right. So let's say I've been in practice for 10 years, at least. And I'm watching this, Mark. I'm listening to you. I know you're right. I absolutely know you're right. I know it. I'm not even fighting. But let me tell you the real reason why I'm not going to call you. I have hygienists that have been with me for 15 years, 20 years. Like they came with the practice. Like they're not going, like what, I'm going to throw you the question I get. Like, what do I do? Like now I'm going to ask them to report all this. And like, am I going to be treading on thin ice with them? Like, what do I do?
Thank you. So you've got a couple of choices here. The arena you're moving into here, which is a fun arena. You and I taught together down at Panky, so we've done this. It's a leadership question that we're really asking here. And the problem is, if I ask my team to change their behaviors, they've been set in their ways. They were here before I got here. I love them. I think the world of them. How do I ask them to change their behaviors? How do I ask them to change their behaviors in a way that makes it sound like it's going to make more money for me? That's probably not going to win. But if I take an attitude and I say, listen, we have an opportunity in front. We have an opportunity in front of us. And our pie, which has been stagnant at best, or maybe growing around the rate of inflation, has the opportunity to become significantly larger in diameter. You know what that means? That means my piece of pie gets bigger. It also means your piece of pie gets bigger. It means we can do more things together as an office, as a team, equipment, technology, vacations, raises, benefits, retirement plans. So if I motivate my team by saying we will help more patients have healthier mouths, we'll all get to do more of the dentistry that excites us and motivates us. And oh, by the way, we might find that more profitable. How do we find profit? Could be money. Mm-hmm. But you and I both know it could be philanthropy.
Right.
Could be kindness. We decide to give back to our communities. It could be that we decide to work more efficiently and work less hours and we get time back as a payment. I don't care. All I know is I'll have more freedom to choose if I put myself in those kind of situations. So that becomes a real leadership activity, helping discuss with your team why this story is motivating.
Okay. I surrender because I know you're right. Well, and the bottom line here is you get a better practice and you get a better life. Now, if you're watching this, and I know, Mark, I don't get you for very long because you got a lot going on here and you have to leave. You have the ability to look at all four of these for free. You'll do this for free for anybody watching this and just do a simple.
Any of your clients, customers, or friends, I'd be happy to.
Okay, so how do I do that? If I want you to look at these four metrics and tell me the lost opportunity, how do I do this?
Simple. Email me four pieces of information, those four metrics.
Okay, wait a minute. there are people that are going to be listening to this on iTunes, so they won't be able to see it. So can you give me your email address?
Sure. It's M-A-R-K, Mark Murphy, M-U-R-P-H-Y, one word, at functionaltracker.com. But functional, spelled with a K, baby, because I'm a little funky. So it's F-U-N-K-T-I-O-N-A-L, tracker, T-R-A-C-K-E-R.com.
Cool.
Funky.
So all we have to do is email those four metrics.
Email me, Mark Murphy, at functionaltracker.com. Tell me four things. Tell me, number one, how many patients are leaving with the next hygiene appointment? Not your thinking, not your heart, not your guess. I want you to go into last month's data, draw a line down the middle of the paper, tick marks on the left-hand side for every hygiene patient that showed up, tick mark on the right if they left at the next hygiene appointment. When you get to 100 on the left, stop counting. The number on the right is the percentage, 70, 75, 80, that are leaving with the next hygiene appointment. Now, by the way, if that number is 90, stop, celebrate, throw a party, take your team out to dinner. They are rocking it. If it's 80, just like what we'd see on an X-ray, maybe we should watch that a little closer. But if it's 70, let's figure out some strategies and tactics to grow that number. And we can do that very easily. The second piece of information I need is, how many new patients are you seeing a month? Because I want to add that to the mix of what we're losing by not coming in for those six-month recares. The third piece of information is, how many FTEs of hygiene do you have, full-time equivalents? How many full-time days of hygiene are you currently working? Because I'm going to put an estimate on that as to how many appointments that is, how many patients that is. It might be off by a little bit, but trust me, we're going to cut the whole thing in half when we're done. So whatever I'm off will not matter. Right. The final thing I need is, just to really put in perspective, how many years do you want to work till you retire? Because if that's 10 or that's 20 or that's 30, I'm going to do the meanest thing in the world. I'm going to multiply that opportunity gap by the number of years. I won't add an interest rate. I'll just multiply it flat out and tell you that's the amount of money. When you see it in 1 year, it looks like this. When you see it in 10 years, it looks like this. And in 20 years, it looks like this. And if it's 30 years, I go off the screen. Mm-hmm. Then you look at that number and you say, what would you pay to recover some of that lost opportunity and income? That lost opportunity for patients to have healthier mouths, that lost opportunity for you to do more of the dentistry your team and you want. That is tracking behaviors that drive results, and it's easy to fix. Verbal skills around the hygiene visits, verbal skills around the confirmation. We'll walk you through all that stuff. You'll have a blast closing that stuff. You can do it. You really can.
Amen, brother. Now you guys can see why I love this guy. He's just fun to be around and puts it all right in the right frame of mind. So, Mark, stay on for a second. I know we got to run, but I really want you to check this out. Email Dr. Murphy. He'll take a look at all those four metrics. You get to talk to him. You know, he will actually go through it with you. Also, you want to check out Functional Tracker with a tracker with a K.com. It is fantastic, and make sure you take a look at it. And then also, again, if you have questions, feel free to add them to the feed. I'll have Dr. Mark Murphy get back to you. So until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. Have a great day.